On Monday afternoon, your heart might have started to sink a bit like mine did when you heard that the Prime Minister wanted to make another announcement on Monday night at 8 o'clock. And as you watched it, as I watched it, your heart just might have despaired to go, now we have entered into a third lockdown. You probably thought about what the implications would then be for your life, for people that you know, people that you love. And for some of you who have children, you then began to think about trying to teach your children at home whilst trying still to do your jobs. Trying to teach children in the midst of a lockdown is a very difficult thing to do. But as I thought about this lockdown myself and thought about all the ramifications it has for our church and for the society that we live in, I thought it's perhaps a little bit like wandering around the wilderness again, just like the children of Israel had to do for over 40 years. They also had to spend 400 years in Egyptian slavery and in bondage. It's a bit like wandering around the wilderness, all these lockdowns that keep coming to us in our society. But as I thought about these wilderness wanderings and the lockdowns that we've been experiencing, I asked myself this question, Johnny, what does God have to teach you in the midst of these lockdowns? What does God have to teach you? What does he have to teach our church? What does he have to teach our society? What does he have to teach the nations in the midst of these lockdowns? And so it brought me to this new series. We're going to look at a new series, God in the Wilderness. God in the Wilderness. We're going to look at the life of Moses, the life of Israel, the life of Elijah, and the life of Jesus over these four Sundays to see what God has to teach us from these people's lives in the midst of a wilderness-like experience. And so this Sunday morning, I want us to look at Moses' life in Exodus chapter 2 and see what we can learn when God takes us into his school in the wilderness. When God takes us to his school in the wilderness. The book of Exodus is the book of getting out. God's people have been in Egyptian slavery and bondage for over 400 years. Moses has been in a very privileged background. He was literally pulled up out of the river by one of Pharaoh's daughters. He's had an incredible first 40 years of his life, but then he emerges from Pharaoh's household and he finds himself caught up in rescuing someone, but takes the life of an Egyptian. And so we meet Moses in a very different place to what he was in the beginning of Exodus chapter 2. So let's go to God's school in the wilderness. And as we look at Moses' life, we need to constantly ask ourselves, what does God have to teach us in his school in the wilderness? Firstly, we see that Moses flees to the wilderness. Look at the text in Exodus chapter 2, verse 15. We see him fleeing to the wilderness. When Moses heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh, and he stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Think about what Moses must have been thinking. For 40 years, he's grown up in privilege. He's been educated in all the language and literature of the Egyptians. And now he's fleeing past all of the Egyptian kings and pharaohs. And he now finds himself in the wilderness, and he sits down. How different his life now looks in the second chapter of his life. Now in the midst of the wilderness, no doubt asking questions. God, what are you doing with me? God, what do you want me to do now? God, what does the next chapter of my life look like? And there's no doubt here in the wilderness and in Midian, he's asking God the question, what do you have to teach me here in the wilderness? Moses was to be the rescuer, the deliverer, and the redeemer of God's people. But he must first be reborn in the wilderness. before he can become the Redeemer. Moses must first be reborn in God's school in the wilderness before he can become the Redeemer of God's people. So let's see what happens to him in the wilderness, verse 16. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their flocks. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and saved them and watered their flock. And when they came home to their father, Reuel, he said, "How is it that you've come home so soon today?" They said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and even drew water out for us and watered the flock." And he said to his daughters, "Then where is he? Why have you left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man. And he gave Moses his daughter, Sapphira. She gave birth to a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, "I have become a sojourner or an alien in a foreign land." Little did Moses know that he was going to be in the wilderness in Midian for 40 years. Little did he know that he would have to spend 40 years in the wilderness to gain knowledge. Knowledge of the wilderness. Because one day he wouldn't just be wandering around with Jethro, his father-in-law's flock, but he would be wandering around with Jehovah's flock for 40 years. God in this wilderness-like experience in his school needed to teach Moses knowledge that he did not have. In the wilderness in these 40 years, God had to give him a family. And Jethro will be a very helpful encourager and a mentor later in his life. And so God needs to give him a family to support him in his ministry. But little did Moses know that he would need this in the wilderness. Moses also needed to have an understanding of sympathy and empathy with God's people. Because God, after 40 years in the wilderness, is going to send him back to tell the Pharaoh that you've got to release basically your workforce army of over 1 million people and release them from slavery. And then Moses would have to lead a people that have been despised and rejected and in bondage for 400 years. And Moses had never understood any of that. He'd grown up in privilege for 40 years. But he needed to be a sympathetic leader by spending 40 years himself in a wilderness-like experience. But Moses wouldn't have known that. He wouldn't have known it in the 41st year, and he wouldn't have known it perhaps until the 79th or 80th year. And there would have been some things that even towards the end of his life, as he looked back to God's school in the wilderness, he still wouldn't have been able to fully understand or interpret until he would get to that city whose architect and builder is God. And isn't that the same with us? As God takes us into his school in the wilderness, whether we've had to flee there or whether we've imposed by governments or other circumstances in our lives to live there, there are things that God is teaching you now that you will have no comprehension about what he's doing at the moment that might only be in the future or in eternity, where you'll be able to look back and see, God was teaching me. God had taken me into a deeper place of his school in the wilderness. Sometimes we just have to flee there with Moses. But look at the second thing that God has to teach us in the wilderness. We need to endure the wilderness. Look at Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 to 25, enduring the wilderness. During these many days, verse 23, the king of Egypt died and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery, and they cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. So think about it. Moses has spent 40 years in the wilderness, wandering around with Jethro's flock, knowing that he was the prince of Egypt, and now he's out in the wilderness wondering what God is going to do with his life, asking all the questions like why or how long, O Lord, like so many of the Psalms allude to. And the children of Israel who are back in Egypt have been there for 400 years. Maybe some of them had stopped praying that God would ever deliver them because they thought that God was impotent or had abdicated his position of power over the people. Moses is enduring God's school in the wilderness. The children of Israel back in Egypt, they're enduring God's school in their wilderness-like experience. But look how God appears in the narrative. Verse 24. And God, there's four things that are revealed to us here. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And God saw the people of Israel. Isn't this amazing? Maybe that's exactly what you need to hear today. That as you find yourself in God's school in the wilderness, consider these four things that verse 24 and 25 reveal about him. He hears us. He remembers his promises, he sees us, and he's concerned about us. Your circumstances today, perhaps your circumstance over the last year or the last 10 years, they scream to you that God doesn't care like Moses might have felt, like the Israelites after 400 years might have felt. But the truth is, God does hear us. God does see us, and our God is concerned about us. And I love the words of Jesus as he speaks to his disciples before he goes to be with his Father. He came into the wilderness of this world for 33 years, and Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 52 and in 53 tells us that he was despised and he was rejected. He was a man acquainted with suffering. And in many ways, as he goes back to be with the Father and he leaves his disciples to endure the wilderness wanderings of this world, he says, and behold, I am with you always, even unto the very end of the age. Isn't this incredible? That as we might have had to flee to the wilderness and we find ourselves enduring the wilderness and wandering round and round and wondering if God is ever going to release us into a new chapter of our lives, Jesus has said to us, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. In God's school, in the wilderness. But look at the third thing that we learn from God's school in the wilderness is that we're often commissioned in the wilderness. That's the third thing. We're often commissioned in the wilderness. Look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness. And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Now as Moses would have traversed the terrain in the wilderness, there would have been very few flowers. But his heart was being formed by God the Father. There were few flowers, but in the wilderness, his heart was being formed by his heavenly Father. Isn't that our experience? When we're in the wilderness, we look for signs of growth. We look for signs that God is at work. And yet, while Moses had learned all the language and literature of the Egyptians, while he was trained by the best scholars of his day in Egypt, you could say his mind was trained in Egypt, but his heart was cultivated and shaped by God in the wilderness. The truth is the matter that when we are commissioned by God, he often teaches our heart and trains our hearts in the wilderness. And verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. Imagine what this must have been like for Moses. There was a burning bush that didn't burn out, and it was a talking bush. And Moses, he's a rescuer, and he's a redeemer, and he's a deliverer by nature. And so he goes over to inspect this incredible sight. Verse 3, and Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush. Has there been 40 years of silence? Has Moses ever heard the voice of God before? We don't know. But God speaks to him in the wilderness, in his school. Moses, Moses. Moses replies, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. God speaks to him. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. God was saying to Moses in the midst of his school in the wilderness, Moses, I want to let you know who I am. Moses, I'm the God of the past. Moses, I am the God of the present, and I want to let you, more importantly, know I am the God of the future. Then the Lord, verse 7, said to Moses, I've surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, and I know their sufferings. And I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and a broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. You see, the very God who saves is the God who sends. The God who calls is the God who commissions. God has saved you. He wants to send you somewhere. If God has called you out of your life of sin, he wants to commission you to go somewhere and serve him. Verse 8, I've come down to deliver them. And then verse 9, and now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come up to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send. Think how Moses feels at this moment. I will send you, Moses, to Pharaoh, that you might bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now Moses, you can imagine, is already preparing his defense. God, I'm a nobody. God, I'm out here in the wilderness, and I'm walking around my father-in-law's flock, and you want me to go back to Pharaoh, the place where they've got a bounty for my head? Moses protests out of his insecurity, his uncertainty. Verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? God, I'm a nobody. And God replies, Moses, it's not about your gifts. It's about me. He said, God said, verse 12, but I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you and have brought the people out of Egypt, and you shall serve God on this mountain. Moses, don't focus on yourself. Focus on me. I wonder how that comes across to you today. And you feel like you've been enlisted in God's school in the wilderness. But as you look across the scriptures, and we'll see with all the characters that we'll study over this next month, God always seems to commission his people at a certain stage in his school in the wilderness. And it won't be about our might, it won't be about our power, but it will be about his strength. And God, the Holy Spirit, who is at work within us. Let me ask you, is God commissioning you in his school in the wilderness to do something for him because of his power? But lastly, we need empowerment in the wilderness. We might have to flee to the wilderness. We might have to endure the wilderness. We have to have our ears attentive to what God, the Holy Spirit, might say to us about his call and his commission on our lives in the wilderness. But fourthly, we need empowerment. And look at this in chapter 3, verse 13 to chapter 4. Then Moses said, verse 13, to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what is his name? Who is this guy? What shall I say to them? Moses perhaps doubted God's power. There's no doubt the Israelites after 400 years are doubting God's power. And God said to Moses, Moses, I am the self-existent and self-sustaining one. Moses, I am the one who was and who is to come. Moses, take your eyes off your own insufficiency and put them on my sufficiency. God said to Moses, verse 14, I am who I am. It's the great tetragrammaton. Four letters in the Hebrew. Yahweh. The one who has no beginning and the one who has no end. And he said, say to this people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moses, do you remember that fire? The fire that's not burning out before you. Moses, I'm the one who never gets burnt out. Moses, don't look to your own strengths or gifts, or to your education in Egypt. Put your eyes back on me, Moses. God said to Moses, verse 15, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob has appeared to me saying, I have observed you. I've seen you and what has been done to you in Egypt. And I promise, here's the promise, Moses, and I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt. Verse 18, and they will listen to your voice, Moses. And you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to them, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. And now please let us go 3 days' journey out into the wilderness that we might sacrifice to the Lord our God. And then look down in the verses 1-9 of chapter 4. Because Moses is still doubting if God really has the power. 40 years perhaps of silence in God's school. He knows he's going to go back to a people of 400 years of experiencing the silence of God. God says, okay. Moses, you see that staff? I can turn it into a snake and turn it into a staff again. Moses, do you see that hand? Put it into your coat. It will come out leprous. Put it back into your coat. It will come out clean. And Moses, if you go back to Egypt and you show your people the power of God and they still don't believe, I'm going to do a third sign. And it's going to be even more incredible. But look at verse 10. But Moses of chapter 4 said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Okay, you may have the power, but Lord, look at me for just a moment. I'm not eloquent either in the past or since you've spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and of tongue. Maybe he had a stammer. God, you want me to be a mediator, a rescuer, a deliverer, an intercessor, a preacher? But Moses, who made you? Moses, who's your designer? The Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth, who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, Moses, go and I will be your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. It was the same with Jesus and the disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. Jesus said, look, if you're arrested, don't worry, I'm going to give you the words that you'll say. I'm going to give you the power. I'm going to strengthen you. It was same when Jesus was again waiting with his disciples before he would ascend to be at the right hand with the Father. And he says, wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you in Jerusalem. And then you will receive power and you will be able to be my witnesses or my martyrs in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. And Peter, who had let his Lord down in front of a little girl by a fire, is this incredible, eloquent preacher at Pentecost, and he was an unschooled, ordinary man. You see, in God's school in the wilderness, when you flee to it, when you endure it, when you're commissioned in it, you will be in part to come up out of it and to be this servant for the Lord Jesus, empowered by God's Spirit to do what he is calling you to do. But Moses is still protesting. Maybe you are too. Verse 13 of chapter 4. But he said, oh my Lord, please send somebody else. I don't want to do it. Maybe that's you. God, surely there's somebody more equipped, somebody more skilled, somebody more eloquent, somebody more educated. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he's coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff, with which you will do these signs. So look at verse 20. So Moses took his wife and his sons and had them ride on a donkey and went back to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the staff of God in his hand. He goes back to Egypt knowing there's a bounty on his head. He goes back to Egypt after having been in God's school in the wilderness for 40 years. But this time his heart has been trained. One writer has said the first 40 years in Egypt, as a young boy who became a young man, he had learned to be somebody. But in 40 years in God's school in the wilderness, he had learned to be a nobody who can be a somebody if they place their hope and their faith and their trust in God. Maybe you're not yet a follower of Jesus and you feel like you're in some sort of wilderness in your own life, in your family or in your marriage or in your singleness or in the midst of this lockdown and you're wondering where the world is going. Look at this passage. Moses was a reluctant savior. He was a reluctant deliverer. He was a reluctant redeemer. But you know, Moses is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He entered the wilderness of 33 years on this world. And he wasn't reluctant. He wasn't reticent. He was willing to do the will of his Father. And when he hung on the cross on that Good Friday, he accomplished the work the Father had sent him to do. When he cried out, "It is finished," the payment for sin was accomplished so that men and women and boys and girls like you and me who are watching this on this Sunday, that we might be redeemed. That while we might feel we're in the wilderness because of our own sin or because of the sin of a decaying world all around us, that we can find hope and new life in Jesus.